Good morning. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to worship here again this morning. I feel very blessed to be able to be here with you today. I've written on the board, the will of God. And I thought that the Lord would give me something else today. But as I began studying near the end of this week, the Lord began impressing upon me some things that went in a lot different direction than I anticipated. So I'd like to look into that a little bit this morning, and I would appreciate your prayers very much. I'd like to tell you a little story. I had a worker years ago. I've worked with a lot of different people in the carpentry business and had people that had all kinds of different personalities. And anyway, somebody was working for me years ago in another state, and there were a bunch of windows that needed to be trimmed out. And I showed him what to do and how to do it, how I wanted it done. And came back later, and he was fussing with a particular area in the window. And I said, "What you've got's good enough." It wasn't good enough. He didn't think it was good enough. And I said, "Okay, look. This is the level of tolerance that is acceptable here on the job, because they're going to caulk this and it doesn't even, this part doesn't matter." He said, "I'm sorry, I just couldn't live with myself and leave that." And the thought that I had, and I don't think I told him this, maybe I should have, but I did, what I thought later was, "You know, I'm not paying you to feel good about yourself. I'm paying you to accomplish my will here at the job. I'm the one that dictated the level of tolerance. I'm the one that dictated what needs to be done. And then if I pay you, I want you to do it how I want it. You know, if I want you to put a bunch of saw marks in it and dent it with a hammer and then put it up, that's the way I want it. I want you to do it that way. I don't expect somebody to be paid by me and then do it in a way that they wanted to. If I said I want you to set these things this way and I come back and it's arranged in a completely different design." And the person that's working for me said, "What's the matter? This looks just as good as what you wanted. I know you wanted me to build this wall with a door and two windows, but I thought a double door and omitting the windows looked better. It might look good, but it wouldn't work for me because that's not what I wanted." Does that make sense? You know what Jesus said? We won't turn there, but even Jesus, when he was here, he said, "I came from heaven not to do my own will." Now, if anybody should be qualified to do what he thought was good, it should be the Son of God, right? Jesus. If there could be anybody that could look at a situation and say, I know how to handle this and this is the way I'm going to do it, and I don't need anybody else to tell me what to do, it should be Jesus. But Jesus himself, he said in John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And the scripture bears out that all of us, every one of us, before we were saved, when we're not saved, we are not in God's will. We don't do God's will. We don't know God's will. Well, sometimes we do. I mean, we know that the Lord, Paul told the people in Acts that were not Christians, he said that he commands men everywhere to repent. And so we know at least, if we're not saved, we know at least that much of his will. We know what the Lord wants, but there's a lot more of God's will. You know what God's will is? It's simply what He wants us to do. It's His plan for us, His pathway for us. That's the will of God. I would say all of us have some sort of an understanding of God's will in our lives, to an extent. You know that there are aspects of God's will that He won't reveal to us until we follow other aspects of His will first. That He builds on our understanding by how good we accomplish what He gave us to do at first. He said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And I believe that sometimes we miss jobs that the Lord wants us to do and understanding that the Lord wants us to have, because there's something He's already told us to do and we didn't do it. So I'd like to look into that a little bit. In Ephesians. No, let's go to 1 Peter first. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. First Peter 4 and 1. I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Not what I think is good, not what I think would be good for humanity necessarily, not just that, although I will tell you that God's will is good for humanity. But that's not where we should stop in our thinking of what should I do and how should I live in this world. What would be, it's not good enough to stop at what's good for my fellow man. Because God's will is good for our fellow man. I'm not talking about those things being mutually exclusive, because they're not. But whenever we get saved, we are expected to no longer live to what looks good to us and what appears right to us, but to figure out what the will of God is and do it. Live to the will of God. And in Ephesians 5, if you'll turn there with me, Ephesians 5 and 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means looking with an understanding all around you. It means that I understand the what's going on. I don't have my head in the sand. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And sometimes I think we can be intimidated by this verse, because we don't always understand what the will of the Lord is. There are situations, I'll tell you, there are situations in my life right now that I do not know what the will of the Lord is. I don't know yet what direction he wants me to take. I don't know what his purpose is or what he wants to get out of the situation. I don't know, and there are some things that I'm not clear yet on how he wants me to, what direction he wants me to go. But I don't think that this, I don't think that is a violation of this verse. There are things that the Lord wants us to understand about His will. You know, there's a lot of things that we know about His will right now. I'll read you some of them. One of the verses was in the Sunday school. He said that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so the Lord does not want us to walk as fools and say, well, I don't know if the Lord wants me in His heaven or not. The Lord wants you in His heaven. The Lord wants you to live for Him. The Lord wants you to be saved, and He wants you to walk in newness of life as a new creature. He wants you to be... I don't know what the will of God is for everybody and everything. If you come to me and say, what's the will of God for me in this situation? Should I buy this or not? Should I move here or not? I don't know. Now, maybe, possibly, I can pray about it and the Lord can give me a revelation, but more likely He wants you to pray about it and so that you can get your own personal revelation about it, because the Lord wants to communicate with you. But I can tell you what the will of God is for me and for you in some aspects of life. I can tell you that the Lord wants you to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's His will. It is His will that that happens. I can tell you that it is His will for you to be saved. I can tell you that it is His will to go. Jesus gave the Great Commission. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It is His will that you do that. It is His will, the scripture says, as you have opportunity, do good unto all men. It's His will that we live that kind of way. And I can tell you that that's the Lord's will. I can tell you that the will of God is in everything give thanks. Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I can tell you that for a surety. In every situation, the Lord wants you to be thankful. And so if you come and you say, you know, I think it's okay to gripe and grumble because you don't understand what's happened. You know, I don't need to know what's happened in your life to tell you that the Lord wants you to be thankful. I'd like for all of us to go away from here asking ourselves some questions this morning. What is the will of God for me today? What is His desire for me? I would like for all of us to purpose in our heart when we go from here today that I'm going to endeavor to find the will of God in the places that I don't know it. And you know, there may be some areas that He hides it from us. But really, it's only an illusion of that. Because I believe that in everything, the Lord's not just going to leave us in limbo where there's nothing for us to do and no direction to go. There's times where we say, well, I just don't know the will of God here. Maybe the will of God is for you to be patient. And wait for Him to reveal something to you. I don't believe that there's any time that the Lord is unwilling to lead us and will not direct us unless we are not in tune with Him. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. I want us to all purpose that we're going to seek for God's will. This is something you have to do on an individual basis. I can't do this for you. To have an understanding of what God's will is for you today. That seems like a tall order, but I just read some things where this is God's will. It's God's will for me to be saved. It's God's will for me to have His Spirit in my life. It's God's will for me to be thankful. It's God's will for me to walk in the light as He is in the light. Amen. In all the light that I know, those are that is God's will. And to not just have an understanding of God's will, but it would be good for every one of us here to purpose right now in your heart, whatever I figure out that this is the Lord's will, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the Lord's will. I'm not going to... Do you know that when we decide whatever the Lord's will is, whatever the Lord has shown me to do, when we say, I don't need to do that. Do you know that no matter how small that is, do you know that that's rebellion against God? I've told this before, but Brother Marty tells a story about one of his children, and he said, please pick this up, put it in the trash. Pick that up off the floor like candy wrapper or something. And she wouldn't do it. You know that the consequence of not picking up a candy wrapper is not that big. It's not like he said, get out of the road, there's a car coming. Not that kind of thing. But you know that it was an issue of obedience. And that's what it became. And so then after the child said no, then it became an issue of, this is my will and you're not doing it. Doesn't matter if it's a candy wrapper or if it's something that's of a whole lot more importance. The issue is that my will is for you to do this and you're not doing it. Doesn't really matter what it is. And so there ensued a battle of wills. And after a while it got to where she was holding the candy wrapper over the trash can. And she said, Daddy, knock it out of my hand. You know why? Because she was not willing to submit to the will of her father. Brother Marty said, no, I will not knock it out of your hand. Because if I do, then that means you are not submitted to my... You won. Your way won. Your will won. Not going to do. You know God wants us to do what He tells us. Did you know that that is why that God will not force us to obey Him? Because He wants us. He provides. Let me read a scripture. Go to Philippians 2 and 12. Philippians 2 and 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. There's another scripture, and I don't have it written down here, but it says, but the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Today we live in what we call the grace dispensation, or the gospel age. Jesus brought, the scripture says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. When Jesus came, He brought the truth in a way that nobody had been able to see it before. But with that, He brought what's called grace. You know what grace is? Grace is something that it provides us with something that we don't have. It's maybe the simplest and the most popular definition is the unmerited favor of God. It's something we didn't work for. It's something we don't deserve. It's something we can't muster up on our own or manufacture, but it's something that the Lord provides. It's not a blanket to cover all the bad things we want to do. Grace is forgiveness of what we've already done when we turn to Him. The Lord extends grace. You don't have to pay for those sins anymore. But you know what grace also is? Grace is the ability to do the Lord's will. All right, so when it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure, what I get from that is that it's not really, nothing comes from us. We don't, we're not the ones that the Lord is the one that works in our hearts, that turns our heart in the direction of God in the first place. He's also the one that provides the grace for us to do His will. But you know what? He doesn't actually make us do it. He gives us the understanding of what we need to do. He turns our heart to in the direction or where He reveals to us that this is what we need to do and provides us the inclination to do it, but He doesn't make us do it. There's a scripture that says, and then we won't turn there, but it's in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 6 and 1. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. That means that the Lord, He can make something palatable to our mind, favorable to our heart, where it looks good, and this is what I know the Lord's will is. I know what the Lord wants me to do. I know I ought to do it. And He can give us the power to do it. And all of that is part of the package that's known as grace. The grace of God. But you know, we can get all that and we can receive the grace of God in vain. Where it doesn't work for us because we didn't take it. We didn't do it. There are some, I think, that would tell you that the Lord does it all. He gives you the inclination, He gives you the faith, He gives you the grace, and then if it's His will, He makes you do the thing. But Jesus stood over the city of Jerusalem and He wept. And He said, I would have taken you as a chicken takes her chicks under her wings. How often would I have done it? I was willing to. Jesus is the one that said, I don't come to do my own will, but I do the will of Him that sent me. That statement, I actually gave this statement to someone a while back, and that said, some are just predestined to do evil. They're not gonna do good. I said, well, what about this scripture? What about this, what Jesus did? And their answer was that this was Jesus' human will. This was kind of what He desired because He was a good man and He had compassion and He wanted to do this, but it really wasn't the Father's will because the Father planned it all out just like this. I want to tell you this morning that the will of God can be disregarded. We don't have to follow the will of God. We can go and the Lord may have a plan worked out for us and something that He wants us to do, and He gives us the inclination and He makes it palatable to us, and He gives us the grace and all the power to do His will, and we still don't have to do it. If we don't want to. Jesus said, I don't do my own will. I came to do the will of Him that sent me. If Jesus was that way, and if that's what He did, then He would have, it would have been inconsistent for Him to say, this is what I wanted to do for, I would have, but He didn't say, I didn't do it because it was not the will of my Father. He said, you would not. And so may the Lord help us today that we will submit ourselves this morning to the will of God. Not to the will of other people necessarily. Not to children obey your parents. But you know why? Because it's the will of God. It's all under the umbrella of the will of God. And there's another scripture. We won't turn to it. But he said, it's in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Now, you know that all of us, and I gave this scripture a few days ago in family worship, so my family's hearing this part of it the second time. You know that everybody is called to do something? Not just the person in the pulpit, not just the missionary that's in Africa. Everybody has a calling. If you have children this morning, then the Lord has called you to be a parent. If you have grandchildren this morning, then the Lord's called you to be a grandparent. If you have siblings, if you have parents, then the Lord has called you to fulfill those roles. And you know that He has all the grace to fulfill any role that He gives you. You can live for God where you're planted, where you are, in the time that you are, and who you are, with the personality that you have, with the strengths and with the weaknesses that you have. You can live for God because the Lord extends the grace to be able to do it. So may the Lord help us to be able to live, to say, yes, I'm going to do that. I would like, there's a lot of teachings in the Christian world today that diminish our responsibility to do God's will. And it amazes me, but people are conditioned in much of the Christian world today. People are conditioned, it's a tragedy, people are conditioned to believe that doing the will of God is unattainable. And they say, I just can't live that way. I can't do that. Do you know that I think we need to adjust our thinking in some ways. We can be working on some things and say, you know what? I know I need more patience here. I know, and the Lord's helping me. But you know that you can be doing the will of God right where you're at, and you can be living in accordance with the will of God, and the Lord says, I know you need help with that, and I'm helping you with it. You don't have to be today where the Lord wants you to be tomorrow. He's got growth for you. But don't look, and so what happens is that people look at this and say, well, I'm not perfect, and so it doesn't matter. And if I do this and this, the Lord is letting me slide over here, so He's going to let me slide over here, and so I'm just going to do whatever. And before long, then you have the teaching of if the Lord says this, and you, it's not that big a deal. That's called rebellion against God. Jesus said, when you pray, say, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to go down a little bit of a side road here this morning. This is not my main burden, but I would say that most of the Christian world teaches that the devil is a fallen angel. I don't believe that. I don't believe the scripture teaches it. There are some scriptures that look very convincing. I've studied those scriptures out. Maybe we need to have a Bible study about it here. But I don't believe he is. And the reason is because, one of the main reasons is because Jesus said, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The importance of the Lord's will is so high. There is not a chance that when we get past the point of our probation here on earth, that we're going to get to a place where we could stand or fall again. The Lord, I believe that the Lord, that everything in heaven obeys the Lord's will and accomplishes the Lord's will. The stars, and this is not in heaven, but the stars and the sun and the moon and everything, they obey the Lord's will. They do exactly what the Lord commanded. I believe that the only things that God, that are in God's scope of His creation, that do not, of course there's the devil, however you want to categorize him, I don't know where he came from, I don't know where his angels came from, but the only things that God has in His control, in His creation, that do not necessarily obey His will are humans. And He designed it so because He wanted us, He wanted a love relationship. It's not love when you're a robot. He wants us to be able to say, I will obey the will of God. I will do that. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what He said. Now, like to, and then, of course, Jesus also said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I'd like to look at what Daniel did in the book of Daniel, chapter 10. This story really stands out to me and has influenced me to really seek the Lord for His will in my life. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. This was right about the time, or a little, right about the time that the captives started to go back to Israel. Actually, I think it was just a little bit after that. But there were evidently, I don't have a good understanding of exactly, I don't know why exactly what Daniel was praying, what he was praying for. But I gather from these scriptures in this chapter that he was trying to understand the will of God. And there was some, and it wasn't for him necessarily. It was for the people of Israel. Now, it's fine for you to try to understand the will of God for you. In fact, it's necessary. But Daniel was so concerned for the welfare of his people, but not just for that. He was concerned about God's name in the earth and God's power and the way that God would be glorified in the earth. And he was praying about this and saying, Lord, what do you... I don't know what all he said. But God came to him. And in the 12th verse, he then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, the way that the understanding I have on this is that this was right at the time that the Lord was dealing with, I think it was King Cyrus, to make a decree. And I don't remember if it was to send more people to Israel or to build a temple or what it was. I don't remember. But the Lord, Daniel, you see the sequence of events. Daniel started seeking and earnestly praying, Lord, what do you want to be done here? And I don't know if exactly, it seems to me that when Daniel started doing that, that the Lord started working on the king and saying, this is what, and started influencing, this is what I want you to do. And the king was a human and had some, maybe some stubbornness about him, and would not do what the Lord wanted him to do for a while. And you know, the Lord could have had another plan. But after 3 weeks, King Cyrus said, yeah, I'm going to do that. And this is the understanding that I have. And so then Daniel was informed by God, this is what's going to happen. But I want it's not so much in my purpose this morning to lay out exactly what happened as it was to demonstrate what Daniel's mind about this was. Daniel did not have a specific request in mind. He didn't say, Lord, we need this. Lord, would you please work this out like this? And you know that when there are trying situations, that should not really be our first prayer either. Lord, get me out of this. Just get me out of this. I just want to be free from this, whatever it is. And we've got this financial difficulty. I'm in pain. Whatever it is, whatever you've got, you know that it's not always the Lord's will to just bring us right out of it. Sometimes it's the Lord's will, many times it's the Lord's will to give us some really, really good things out of this. I can tell you from personal experience that probably every trial, every tough place that I've had in my life, the Lord has had some really good things for me. But the way that I have been inspired to pray in the deepest, darkest places, trials, and places that the Lord has led me into in my life was not to just say, Lord, get me out. But to say, Lord, what is your will in this? What do you want to accomplish? If you will reveal your will to me, I will do it. And that's what Daniel did. He was just trying to understand. He wanted to know what the will of God was. You know, I think about Paul. Paul wanted to know the will of God too. Remember, there was a time when we won't turn there, but he said that we tried to go into this place and the Lord didn't let us go. Spirit suffered them not. And we're forbidden of the Lord to preach the word here. So we tried to go over here and the Lord said, no, don't do that. You know, I don't believe that Paul was operating out of the will of God. He was just, the Lord had given him a commission. He said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. But the Lord closed doors for him, and you know the Lord will do that too. It's not the Lord's expectation for us to sit with our hands on our lap and do nothing and say, well, it's because I don't know what the will of God is. There are things that the Lord expects us to do, but the Lord will close the doors that He doesn't want us to go through if we are living in the Lord's will or in submission to the Lord's will, saying, Lord, whatever you want to show me today, that's what I'm going to do. After we get to that point, and when we are living in that point where we are ready to do whatever the Lord wants us to do, I believe it's not just okay, but it is expected and commanded by the Lord that we do whatever we have opportunity to do, and the Lord will close the doors He doesn't want us to walk through. If you think, well, I don't know if the Lord wants me to talk to my neighbor about God, the Lord wants you to talk to your neighbor about God. Now, He may have you work up to it. Maybe you can talk to Him about fishing first. The Lord will show you. The Lord wants us to do good in this world. But He's going to lead us through the doors He wants us to go through, and He's going to close others. But then, Paul was asleep, and he had a dream, and the man said, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after that, there was no more wavering or let's try here, let's try there. Paul said immediately, or whoever wrote the book of Luke said, immediately, we said, well, this is what the Lord wants us to do. So we went over there. And it was like you think by that they just went over there with gladness of heart and everything. Well, later, Paul said, we won't turn there, but it's in 2 Corinthians 7 and 5. It said, when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Some pretty rough stuff that they had to deal with, but you know what? They had a revelation of the will of God. And there are things that we can get into in our life that we're going to waver and we're going to falter if we don't have something to anchor to in the past where we say, I know the Lord wanted me to do this. So really, the trouble that we're having now doesn't make any difference because I know the Lord put me in this place. You know you need that in your life. You need to be able, and it starts with seeking the Lord. You already know some things that the Lord wants you to do. But there are other things that the Lord wants you to seek and say, Lord, what do you want? It might take some fasting. It might take some giving up of some things that, you know, I just do this because I enjoy this. The Lord may want you to set, and He will, from time to time, want you to set some things aside so you can learn the Lord's will. I think about another, though. Samson. Let's go to Judges chapter 13. And the Lord revealed His will to Samson's parents. Judges chapter 13, verse 5. The Lord said, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And I've often pondered, what could Samson really have done? Yeah, he did some impressive stuff. He killed 1,000 Philistines in one day. Do you know how many Philistines there were? There were a lot of Philistines. The day that he killed the 1,000 Philistines was really probably just a drop in the bucket compared to how the Lord wanted to use him to deliver. And it's inconceivable to me that his parents did not tell him, you know, the angel came to us before you were born and said this and this. If it's recorded in Scripture, you know Samson knew it. And Samson certainly grew up with this understanding. This is what the Lord expects of me. This is why they don't want me to cut my hair. This is why I can't drink strong drink. This is what I'm being raised for. This is the will of God in my life. To be an instrument for Him in delivering Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. I'm guessing that as he grew up, he probably had lots of reasons to recognize why the Lord wanted him to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. They were probably the Philistines were constant trouble. Israel was hardly ever at peace with them. And when Samson grew up, if he really would have been submitted to the will of God, everything that he did would have been consistent. He would have strove to say, all right, I want to fulfill the Lord's will to its maximum potential in my life. But you know what he did instead? Yeah, he went down to the Philistines. He fooled around down there and he found one woman that he loved, and then he found another woman that he couldn't stay out of trouble. And he just was down there just wasting his time and doing things that not only was just wasting his time, but it was going against. You know, when you make connections with the other side, it's kind of hard to make war with them. He had a bunch of in-laws over there. Kind of hard, I'm guessing that it's probably like today. There were some of the people he associated with because of his marriage to that Philistine woman that he was got along with good, some of them probably not so good, but then he got involved with a lady named Delilah. She was evidently either a Philistine or very closely connected with the Philistines, because the lords of the Philistines knew her real well. And Samson knew the will of God. He knew this is what the Lord wants me to do. And instead, he went down there and he undermined everything. You know what my burden is this morning? For us to say, what's the will of God? What does the Lord want me to do? And am I doing it? Are the things that I'm doing in line with that? Am I doing things that are stunting the potential of the will of God in my life? Maybe I'm doing the will of God over here, but over here the Lord showed me what to do and I'm just kind of disregarding that. Is this action over here hurting what the Lord has showed me in this area over here? May the Lord help us each one. I want to do the will of God in my life. I know a lot of the things the Lord wants me to do. And you know, Jesus, and I mentioned this a while ago, Jesus said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he said, if you have not been faithful in the small things, who is going to commit to you the true riches? I know that I said a while ago, there are times when the Lord doesn't reveal to us His will about something, or we think He doesn't. I feel like the Lord's opened my understanding a little bit this week, that sometimes the will of God is for us to wait for Him to speak. But there are other times when the Lord says, there's been times I prayed for something and the Lord started dealing with me about something over here that I had kind of
saved for later. Like, yeah, I don't want to deal with that right now. The Lord wants us. The Lord wants us to take care. If I've got somebody working for me, and I say, you know, I'd like you. Okay, I want you to pick up the trash. And they do a half job and they just kind of whatever. And there's a lot of trash left on the floor. Do you think that I'm going to say, well, okay, now I want you to go and do this really high, this really responsible task. I want them to get good at the things. And this is like this with God too. I want them to get good at the things that I give them. Before I'm going to trust them with something of more responsibility. And that's the way the Lord is with us. And, you know, the Lord might say, you know, I want you to do this job for me. And he might not even tell us this, but this is what is in his mind. I want you to do this job for me, but you won't do what I told you with this over here. And when you do this, then I'll reveal to you. This. May the Lord help us each one today. You pray for me. Are we doing the will of God?